This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1840. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave. On this edition, recorded August 24th, Alaska, Albania, Ascension, Australia, Bangladesh, Brazil, China, Cuba, Eritrea, Germany, Guyana, India, Indonesia, Japan, Madagascar, Malaysia, Myanmar, Netherlands, Nigeria, North America, Puntland, Russia, Serbia, USA, Vatican, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, last week we had news that the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, HAARP, would resume next year under new ownership, the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And now, thanks to Ben Dawson, we have news of an imminent lecture about HAARP and an open house. Should you find yourself in the vicinity of Glen Allen, Alaska, Friday evening, August 26th at 7 p.m. local time at the Wrangell St. Elias National Park Visitor Center Auditorium on the Richardson Highway, Dr. Chris Fallon will speak on radio modification of the ionosphere and who uses this HAARP thing anyway. And then the following day, Saturday, August 27th, there's an open house at the HAARP Research Facility from 9 to 3 local time. Someone at Radio Tirana, Albania is finally trying to determine the cause of that hum roar coming out of their transmitter with a view to fixing it. They've been carrying out tests on a slightly different frequency in the European evening, 7475 instead of 7465, at least on August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, that is between 17 and 18 UT in Italian and French, and 1930 to 2030 in German and English. Alokesh Gupta sends news from the DRM Consortium about a special DRM broadcast from Ascension Island. This is part of the anniversary of the BBC Atlantic Relay Station, Sunday, August 28th, the 50th anniversary. The broadcast will be on 21715 at 11:55 UT with a special announcement about this for the first 6 minutes and then carrying regular BBC World Service programming for another 2 hours until 1400. These are on a 114 beam to South Africa. And then they've added another half hour on a different beam, 250 degrees toward Brazil, until 1430. Last week, we were very concerned about the sesquiweek absence of Radio Australia from all six of its shortwave frequencies. But they said they would be coming back on August 19th or 20th, and in fact, they did. Thanks to John Filiozzi, who got a tip-off of the time they were to resume, UT August 18th, at 23, actually the carrier was on 17840 when I tuned in at 2257. And since then they have been on most of the time, although occasionally one of the frequencies has been missing again, 12065 or 15415. This has led to a lot of serious discussion, including some of these comments from Kenneth Vidodzicki in Michigan. It is very likely this was a test, not just a maintenance issue. It seems pretty likely the broadcasters are listening to self-appointed experts who claim there is data that nobody except a handful of hobbyists listens to shortwave anymore. But if we shared the data or even the methodology of collecting the data, we'd have to kill you since it is super squirrel secret. Be that as it may, the data I have seen implies otherwise. Unscientific polls like WWC are asking people to call in or email during entertainment programming as opposed to religious stuff, and getting thousands of emails in a few days' time, mostly from North America, tells me that if you program something worth listening to, the audience is there. But if you devote yourself to crud, well, you're correct if you think nobody but a hobbyist would bother to listen to crud, and they'll only do that to get a QSL and stop. As for the web as an alternate for shortwave broadcasting, Alexa.com shows the only international broadcaster with a measurable audience on the web is the BBC World Service, and that ranks below sites where people watch other people play video games online. I get that a lot of people like to watch people play video games for some reason, but seriously, the Beeb can't outscore that audience. Other than the BBC, no international broadcaster scores in the top 1,000 websites, and many aren't in the top 10,000 or even top 100,000 websites. Bear in mind that sites like CNN and Netflix and Facebook and YouTube are number 2 to 5 depending on the ranking site. Google's number 1. That pretty conclusively suggests that the internet is not the way for international broadcasters to attract an audience. So, how do we distill this down to something that makes sense? I call this the reverse field of dreams effect, and international broadcasters have shot themselves in the foot over and over by ignoring some simple truths. If you stop broadcasting, people won't listen. If you only broadcast crud, people won't listen. If you treat your audience like chattel, they will abandon you for the next media option. But if you provide unique and high-quality material that is not available elsewhere, the audience will be there, and they will look forward to what you have to say. If you ignore the audience, you should not be surprised if they abandon you, and pretending someone doesn't count because they aren't part of an audience measured in billions, but are only part of an audience measured in hundreds of thousands or millions, is a good way to alienate an audience. And if you're selling a niche product, you don't expect to sell billions of them now, do you? Nor should you. That doesn't mean you shouldn't bother and just give up, though. Work the market you do have. If you stop broadcasting in ways people can listen and treat your audience like they are beneath contempt, you will fail as a broadcaster. And new audiences won't find you on the web or on satellites or on FM rebroadcasters if your existing audience is unhappy and your programming stinks, or just doesn't reach your audience because it is only rebroadcasting your domestic service. I hope Radio Australia doesn't fall for the canard that nobody listens to shortwave. We'll see, says Kenneth Vitosicki. Ron Howard in California on Bangladesh Betar 4750 home service. On August 16th, I said in addition to the abbreviated broadcasts I've been reporting on the air only from 1253 to 1306 UT, I'll now find a similar short broadcast an hour earlier at 11:55 to 12:06 with news at the top of the hour. Strange scheduling. And now there are other reports of BB broadcasts only for a few minutes around the top of the hour in DSWCI DX window around 17 UT, says Giovanni Carboni in Sardinia. 1651 to 1705, August 23rd, says Anker Peterson in Denmark. Well, it seems to me that this service is being treated as a feeder for other stations to relay, and the only part of the hour where it's really important is during the news on the hour. A report in Argentina's GRA blog originating with info from the International Journalists Federation, FIP, says public broadcasting in Brazil is in danger. Now that the Olympics are over, they say that the current government of Michel Temer is undertaking some alarming measures against EBC, Empresa Brasileña de Comunicación, if it were pronounced in Spanish. EBC, of course, is in charge of the Amazon service on 11780 and 6180, among others. This is all for political reasons and involves television, which I suppose is much more important in Brazil. The president of EBC and 12 other journalists have been designated not very friendly to the executive, and several TV programs have been eliminated. Rodney Johnson in Nevada reports PBS Sichuan 2, China, on 7225, August 21st, at 1400 in Chinese, with announcements and music. Ron Howard replies, I find the parallel frequency 6060 to be stronger than 7225, and note that they have a nice ID at the top of the hours in English. It says, Nationality Channel Sichuan, the People's Radio Station, SW6060, 7225, FM 88.1. There's usually at least a weak signal from Radio Progreso's Second Harmonic from Cuba on 9530. However, August 23rd at 0127, I found it hitting S7 and was quite readable, and with matching programming, of course, to 4765. And there was no jamming either on this occasion, but had to avoid Radio Havana Cuba itself, just 5 kilohertz up. So it was also a good time to look for the third harmonic of 4765, and there it was, 14295, intruding into the 20-meter handband. It was running S2 or 3 with parallelable audio. It should also be appearing on the fourth harmonic, 19060, but that was not audible, just not enough muff. Frank Orcutt in California says, Glenn, I thought you might be interested in this bit I saw on Vice News. And then he presents a link to it, which will appear in full in the next DX Listening Digest, number 16-34, when published, via worldofradio.com. Inside it is a short profile of the Eritrean clandestine radio ASENA, A-S-E-N-A. Unlike most mentions of shortwave stations and programs in the mainstream media, Vice actually mentions the frequency, 15245. The studio is in London. It appears to be a one-man operation by an Eritrean expat, Emmanuel Eyasu, E-Y-A-S-U. He said he used to be a journalist in Eritrea. The station appears to be run out of his bedroom in a London apartment. Past programs can be downloaded from another website. The station has a site, ASSENA.com. Reception reports can be sent to Mr. Eyasu, ASEYE.ASENA@gmail.com. The station issues a very attractive EQSL. It appears spelling of the station can be either ASENA or ASSENA. Meanwhile, Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria has been reporting on this station. On August 8th, there was no signal, as it was scheduled 17 to 18 UT on 15245 via France in Tigrinya. It had been scheduled on Thursdays and Saturdays only. However, on August 13th, it was back on the air. That was a Saturday. As of August 22nd, he says, Radio ASENA was the only service on 15245 via France still on the air, the Saturday broadcast only. Others were no longer being heard, the Thursday broadcast of the same, nor in rather convoluted scheduling around the same time. Eritrean Forum Medrek. Manfred Reif in Germany, according to the Deutsche Welle website, will start live coverage of a soccer game of the first German soccer league, Bundesliga, each Saturday, starting August 27th. The live coverage will be between 1325 and 1530 UT in both Swahili and Hausa, via local FM stations in East and West Africa. However, we already had a report that this would be on shortwave, 17570 and 17840 via France. This was from Ivo Ivanov, and it was to be football on Saturdays only in Hausa. Doesn't mention Swahili here, but as Kai Ludwig points out, maybe one of those will really be in Swahili. I ask, so there is a worthy audience for German football in the Hausa language? Wolfgang Büschel says, the incompetent German Deutsche Welle management is distributing hard-working German taxpayer funds to Africans. Oh, my God. Anyhow, the dates, not every Saturday, are supposedly August 27th, September 10th, 17th, and 24th, October 15th, and 22nd. Checking August 21st at 0152 and 0545 for the record, I found no signal at all from the Voice of Guyana just below 3290. It's been off for several weeks and may now be another ex-shortwave broadcasting country, unless they bring Jamie Labadia back to fix the transmitter again. Robert Wilkner in Florida last logged it on July 2nd and noted it missing since at least July 14th. In DX India, Joe Jacob says on August 19th from around 16 UT, All India Radio's Urdu service was noted very clearly on 7040 kHz. Wrong frequency, maybe instead of 7520 is scheduled, but not heard. By 16:15, it had drifted to the lower side with distorted audio. Joe Jacob also says, an All India Radio special Hajj service in Urdu is now underway at 0530 to 06 UT. It runs from August 13th to October 11th on 11670 Bengaluru, 15210 Panaji, Goa, and 15770 Delhi. Not really expecting to hear it here, but 11670, I had a carrier, which might have been from CNR to China instead. In the ether, World of Radio, 1840, and via internet tubes, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Chuck Ermatinger, who sent a contribution via PayPal to woradio@yahoo.com. One may also contribute by check or money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to World of Radio, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. August 18th at 12:30 UT, I had a just barely audible carrier so weak I could barely measure it, but right on the frequency reported by Wolfgang Büschel as Radio Republik Indonesia in Ternate, which is now active, first heard by Ron Howard on August 1st. And Atsunori Ishida agrees it was unheard in July but back on the air in August. That is 3344.864 kHz. As always, Ron Howard hears it much better in California on 3344.86, August 19th at 12:58. The audio was above threshold level and improving. If they stay on the air, he said, it should be nice this winter. However, the 75-meter band RRI station in Merauke, 3905, seems to be really gone now. Not heard since early July after almost daily monitoring, and Atsunori agrees. During the Shokaze or Sea Breeze broadcast in English, Thursday, August 18th, on 5965, from Japan about North Korean abductions, at 1349 UT, he heard instead an ID as Radio Free Asia. Hard to explain unless Shokaze was merely saluting Radio Free Asia for their Korean broadcasts. It seems one of the English broadcasts from Madagascar World Voice, African Pathways Radio, is still irregular. That's at 18 UT on 17640. August 19th, I checked in the middle of the hour and there was no signal. But August 24th, there it was. Ron Howard in California says one of the Malaysian shortwave frequencies has been reactivated. August 22nd, 6050, carrying the ASYIK FM program. ASYIK. He says it had been silent for most of this year. Heard from 1327 to 1413 in vernacular with many phone conversations, pop songs, light interference from Tibet on the frequency, singing IDs. He says surely this is back on the air for the upcoming Independence Day celebrations. August 31st, 1957 was the day the Federation of Malaya gained its independence from British colonization, and it's a national holiday, with celebrations leading up to September 16th, which is Malaysia Day, commemorating the establishment of the Malaysian Federation in 1963 by joining Malaya, North Borneo, Sarawak, and Singapore to form Malaysia. Of course, Singapore later departed. And Ron says his reception of ASYIK FM the next day, August 23rd on 6050, was outstanding. Bollywood pop Hindi songs after 13 UT, very good reception. Very listenable with a montage of different Hindi songs and IDs for Radio Malaysia ASYIK FM Bollywood. Later on that same date, Wolfgang Büschel, using remote receivers, compared it to two other stations on 6050 for their exact frequency footprints. ASYIK FM Malaysia was 11 Hz above 6050. CNR Lhasa Tibet was on exactly 6050, and HCJB in Ecuador was 4 Hz below. Bad news for Myanmar radio, says Ron Howard on 7200.0. Recently, Taiwan and CNR1 jamming ended at 13 UT, leaving the frequency very clear for decent Myanmar radio reception. But not so on August 23rd for some reason. RTI stayed on past 13, still going at 1328 and mixed with Myanmar. If this continues, the CNR1 jamming will start up too, completely blocking Myanmar reception, an unfortunate development. The second two-hour program from the Radio Netherlands archives from PCJ Radio International was supposed to appear on WRMI August 21st and 22nd, but did not due to some technical problem. Keith Brown says it's been rescheduled for 1 week later, so here are the start times and frequencies. Sunday, August 28th at 06 on 7780, and UT Monday, August 29th at 01 on 7570. To hear a really neat interval signal, I suggest listening to the voice of Nigeria's cacophony of percussion, such as a few minutes before the 0600 Hausa broadcast on 7254.925 variable, as I heard it August 19th, coming through unscathed and fully modulated, which is not always the case. A new pirate band seems to be opening up. At least a few stations are starting to use it between 8.0 and 8.1 megahertz in North America. Chris Lobdell in Massachusetts heard on 8040, August 14th at 0116, an unidentified pirate playing some oldies. Lots of them have been logged by Harold Froge in Michigan. Some of them even in the daytime, so it pays to check this frequency range. He had Radio Free Whatever on 8040, August 14th at 2206, and on 8065, August 15th at 1524, repeating the same program. Soft Rock Radio was on 8055, August 17th at 2135. And some more NIDs on 8040 at 2223, 8055 at 1504, 8065 at 1507, and also at 2223. As of August 20th, Torsten Hallmann in Germany reports on his recent monitoring of Radio Puntland, Somalia, 13800. Since tracing it on August 2nd, I tried to monitor it every day, also known as Puntland Radio 1. In the range 06 to 07, 08 to 9, around 12 and 14 to 15 UT, sometimes also around 17 hours. But I couldn't check all days every day. I did check two or three times. The results: it was on the air more or less every day, but usually not continuously throughout the day, occasionally already on when Radio Dabanga left 13800 at 0558, but usually it signed on later in the morning. On air very often in the early afternoons around 14, but rarely after 15, and remained unheard throughout the evenings. No trace of it on alternative channel 6160 in the evenings. If on air early in the morning, there was likely a break later before it returned in the afternoon. Signal strength varied greatly. Could reach remarkable quality in morning and afternoon on Central European receivers even for hours, but did not reach that level regularly, so possibly not with full power every day. Modulation generally fine, usually in compatible USB mode with a relatively strong carrier. But on one occasion, I heard little modulation also on the lower sideband. As well as broadcasting times, program content seemed to follow no pattern. Long periods of talk, monologue or a talk show, or lively entertainment format. As well as long periods of nonstop Horn of Africa music or Quran chanting. No news or ID at our tops. Rarely pre-recorded English ID within the musical parts. Seems to be mostly still testing or filling material of random pre-recorded content. About Radio Sokha, Yakutsk, Russia, Ron Howard is trying to figure out their transmitter usage. 7295 had a very nice signal at 1150 August 19th, but the other one, 7345, was also doing very well against CNR1. So do they have two high-powered transmitters now? More monitoring needed. It used to be that one was always heard much stronger than the other. And there might be a third frequency, a mixing product on 7395, but of course much weaker, reported by Hiroki Kumatsubara in Japan. Tim Bucknell forwards a very unusual catch from Jürgen Bartels in Germany on the VHF skip list about hearing Radio Russia during a sporadic e-opening on the frequency of 44,553 kilohertz. With a lot of research and comparisons, he traced this to the Kursk, Russia transmitter on 66.82 megahertz FM, which is a sesquiharmonic of 44.553, that is, a multiple of a lower frequency to reach the desired FM frequency. Another country has closed down its final medium wave transmitter, Serbia. 1269 kilohertz went off the air in early July, says Mauno Ritola of WRTH. New Zealand has some competition for 7245. as long as the powers that be refuse to segregate absolutely amateur from broadcasting bands worldwide. On Wednesday, August 24th, around 13 UT, I was hearing an LSB hamnet interfering with RNZI, but it was about to go off, leaving it clear for the hams after 12:58. I was then hearing the Tin Can Sailors radio net. Tin Can Sailors are veterans of U.S. destroyer ships in World War II and beyond. Their net is at 13 UT on Wednesdays only on 7245. But before it, during the previous hour, is a related net of Navy radio people. Replying to my comment last week that Voice of America should repeat more of its programming to fill up its schedule, Mike Cooper replies, "There is considerable repetition of VOA programming already. Daybreak Africa gets its first airing at 23:05 Eastern Daylight Time, and then is repeated during each of the next 3 hours. The same is true of the International Edition, first airing at 23:30 Eastern. On weekdays, African News Tonight airs at 12:05 Eastern, and again 2 hours later. The 13:05 International Edition runs again 2 hours later. The 18:05 Eastern International Edition repeats 1 hour later. Setting aside music shows, the existing repetition of these programs helps conceal that original VOA daily programming now consists of only one sesquihour to Africa and three editions of International Edition, which often have substantial overlap in their content. On August 16th and 23rd, the only World of Radio broadcast via WRMI aimed at Europe, Tuesday at 21:30 on 15770, was replaced by their special digital radiogrammish broadcast, but I hope World of Radio will be back from now on during that time period. That was prompted by the HFCC conference in Miami the week of August 22nd to 26th. And here's another special broadcast for that. As early as August 13th, I was hearing an unidentified and unlisted DRM transmission at 1933 UT on 17510. And there it was again on August 23rd, going off the air at 2000. I checked with Jeff White and confirmed that this is a special broadcast from Vatican Radio for the HFCC conference, 1930 to 20, 17510 direct from Santa Maria de Galleria, and it was to continue through August 25th. Apparently that broadcast was well received at the hotel in Miami. And this led to considerable discussion because they were demonstrating a new DRM portable receiver called the Pantron X Titus II, as in Roman numerals, DRM portable receiver. It's been discussed among other places at swelling.com. This was a prototype to be sold at under $100 and impressed Ray Robinson of KVOH, who said, "Reception on the Titus II was nothing short of astounding." But Keith Perrone says another poor quality doesn't really matter receiver, even has an annoying name. No sense of design. Do they have to make something that looks so ugly? The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field unsettled to active, August 25th, 29th through September 8th, 13th, 14th, and 17th, with G1 minor storm levels likely, August 30th and 31st, and canopies peaking at 25 and 5. Solar flux dropping from 84 August 26 to 75 August 30th, climbing to a peak of 90 September 4th to 10th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio, 1840.